Hello. This is Paula with the Vermilion County News on Thursday, April 10th, 2025. We'll start with a story titled Hicks Named New Principal of Schlarman Academy, and this is written by Kayla White. With the official retirement of Tracy Cherry, Schlarman Academy has named a new principal, Kathleen Hicks. Kathleen Hicks was unanimously recommended for the position by the Academy's Principal Search Committee. She will begin work on July 1st. Currently serving as a middle school teacher at Holy Cross School in Champaign, Hicks has also worked as a special education aide at Ludlow Grade School in Ludlow. In the secondary education field, she has worked as a STEM education teacher at Parkland College. She also served as a presenter or panelist at regional and national conferences, and she has authored several professional publications. Hicks holds a Bachelor of Science degree in History and Geography from Illinois State University and a Master's of Arts degree from the University of West Georgia. Beyond the classroom, Hicks has also served as the education coordinator with the Orpheum Museum in Champaign, as well as a program manager with the Champaign Park District. Superintendent of Catholic Schools Jerry Sanderson said throughout Hicks's career, she has demonstrated expertise in curriculum development, personnel management, fostering strong relationships with local businesses and community stakeholders, and designing and executing marketing campaigns. As to how Hicks became interested in the open role at Schlarman, she said it was about answering God's call on her life and giving back to the community. When called upon by God, I believe it is my responsibility to answer. I view this as an opportunity to give back to the school and community and played a fundamental role in shaping up my upbringing, Hicks said. Additionally, I am passionate about leadership and making a meaningful impact. When she begins work in her new role in July, Hicks said she intends to focus her energy on learning as much as she can about what Schlarman Academy needs. My top priority is to gain a deep understanding of the school culture, its families, and staff. At the outset, I will focus on building strong relationships with students, staff, and the wider community, fostering trust and open communication grounded in respect and compassion, she said. I will prioritize both academic excellence and spiritual development, ensuring that Catholic values are integrated into every aspect of the school day, she said, adding that she will also do all she can to create a safe and inclusive environment where students feel loved and valued. One of the challenges of leadership, she said, is maintaining balance between the competing demands of the role, demands such as overseeing academic excellence, supporting students' faith and character development, guiding teachers and staff, addressing students' needs, promoting community engagement, ensuring safety, and managing administrative duties, to name a few. Beyond doing all she can to make the school day safe and uplifting for students, Hicks is also dedicated to supporting Schlarman Academy's teachers and staff in their professional growth. I must ensure that all voices, students, teachers, parents, and staff, are heard and valued while also making difficult decisions. It's my responsibility to provide support and direction in a way that allows the school to flourish while preserving a healthy, supportive, and faith-filled atmosphere for both staff and students, Hicks said. Moving forward, Hicks plans to introduce initiatives that promote well-being, collaboration, and growth across the school community, as well as enhancing communication channels to ensure everyone's voice is heard, and introducing recognition programs to celebrate the achievements of both students and staff. The Diocese of Peoria is pleased to welcome Kathleen Hicks as the next administrator of the school, where she will guide the spiritual development, academic excellence, and commitment to Christ-like service, which have been the hallmark of Catholic education at Schlarman for generations, Sanderson said. Next story is titled Moving Forward, Covington Student Ready for the Future After Cancer Leg Amputation. And again, this is written by Kegla White in Covington, Indiana. Kyla Culotti, a senior at Covington Community High School, is ready to move forward after receiving her new prosthetic leg this week. Culotti was diagnosed with a rare form of cancer in December of 2024. As she completes her work for her final semester of high school from home, classmates have sent her a scrapbook of memories and messages to encourage her healing process. Some of the ones I've read, it's like we've never talked before, but those are really nice too, knowing that other people are still thinking of me, even though we've not necessarily had a conversation with each other, Culotti said, looking down at the page in the scrapbook. Culotti is just now learning how to walk on her new prosthetic. It's hard plastic, so sometimes it hits spots and it's not supposed to, and then it hurts, but I'm at least standing and can work on putting it on and off, Culotti said. On February 21st of 2025, she underwent surgery to amputate her right leg below the knee, the second surgery she'd had since her fall when she first noticed severe pain and swelling in her leg. During the school year, I'm a waitress at Benjamin's, just right up the road, and I've always on my feet, Culotti said. My leg just started hurting really bad and getting really swollen, so then eventually I just had to stop working because I was like, it hurts too much. After consulting with doctors, she was sent to Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis, Missouri, where x-rays revealed a large tumor just above her knee growing up into her femur. In December of 2024, Culotti underwent her first surgery to move the tumor and fill the hole left in her femur with bone grafts from cadavers. That surgery was also required taking a piece of her hip bone to strengthen her femur so that Culotti could still use her leg. Recovery from that one was really tough, she said. After the surgery, Culotti's doctors discovered portions of the tumor were malignant. Based on their assessment of the situation, they recommended amputation. When Culotti and her family sought a second opinion from St. Jude's Hospital in Memphis, Tennessee, they learned that the tumor was a giant cell tumor, a cancer so rare that not even the physicians at St. Jude had dealt with it before. She had options for surgery, but considering it's an aggressive form of cancer, the best option for not returning for the long term was the amputation, her mother, Judy Culotti, said. After looking at different options, the doctors at St. Jude agreed with Barnes Jewish Hospital's assessment that amputation was the best route for Culotti. They give you a very promising way to save your leg, but then you hear about all the other things that will come with it in the future, or the fact that you could still have to get it amputated because the cancer could come back, or they couldn't get rid of it every single cell in there, Culotti said. Culotti and her family were able to connect with another person who has the same diagnosis and chose not to amputate. She had 11 surgeries in the last 3 years. It's her option now if she wants to keep fighting the infections and everything, or she wants to just have the amputation done, Culotti said. The decision to move forward with the amputation took Culotti 2 months to make, a decision her mother, Judy, says that she made with maturity and consideration. The maturity she had in choosing that as what she wanted to do was pretty astonishing to see. How awesome she was of making that choice and the thought process and reasoning she had behind it, Judy said. She said, I'm young and I can overcome this and get used to it. Excuse me. And I'm healthy. I'm active. So it's just amazing to see her make the decision, Judy said. I would rather have kept one good leg that could like fully support me rather than leaving two bad legs, Culotti said of the decision. Kyla's aunt, Brenda Hilton, started a GoFundMe page for the Culotti and her family, which currently has raised almost $14,000 of the $16,000 goal. Kyla is a bright student, a loving friend, and an important member of our family, Hilton said. As she navigates this challenging journey, we want to ease the financial burden by raising funds for essential home recovery items, future medical equipment, including car modifications and prosthetics not covered by insurance, travel expenses for doctor visits, and everyday living costs. Students and teachers of her school have also started a fundraiser selling shirts and bracelets to support her that say Kyla kicks cancer. There's a bunch of the school for all the kids. They were bought all throughout the elementary, middle school, and high school. And then there's going to be a whole picture day with them. They're going to have everyone wear them and just take a big group picture together, Kalani said. Her mother, Jody, says she and her family have felt very supported by the people of Covington. It's a very supportive community for sure. Covington has just been amazing with everything that they've done. It's impressive people, Jody said, adding that they've also received a lot of support from their church, in Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Danville. Though Kalani has a long road of recovery and physical therapy ahead of her to learn to walk correctly on her prosthetics, there's less than a 5% chance of the cancer returning, her doctors assured her. What she's looking forward to most is getting back to work, both at Benjamin's and as a daycare provider during the church's summer camp program, which she has been doing the past two summers. Though she is completing her senior year at home, she still plans to walk in the graduation. I told my mom I'm going to have to wear waterproof mascara because I'm just going to be sobbing the whole time, Kalani said. This fall, Kalani hopes to begin her studies to become an aesthetician at the Avada Institute. But first, she can't wait to get behind the steering wheel again. I will be driving for hours on end, she said, smiling. And there's a couple pictures here. The students and staff from the CCHS posed for a group photo wearing Kyla Kicks Cancer shirts in support of Kalani. And then there's a picture of Kyla Kalani looks at messages her fellow students stuck inside scrapbook pages to encourage her. That's a neat story. Next story is titled Better in Indiana, Bill to Absorb Illinois Communities Advanced to Senate. This is written by Leslie Benilli Muniz in Indiana Capital Chronicle in Indianapolis, Indiana. Legislation to study the absorption of secessionist Illinois counties heads to Indiana Senate's floor after a 7-2 committee vote. Companion legislation in the Prairie State is already dead, however. It just says that things are better in Indiana than they are in Illinois, said Senator Scott Baldwin, Republican from Noblesville. It's no surprise. People want to move. We want to open the doors if they want to come here, Baldwin added. He's sponsoring House Bill 1008, a priority of the House GOP on its Senate journey. The proposal could create an Indiana-Illinois Boundary Adjustment Commission tasked with exploring the succession and transfer of counties that have already voted to leave the state of Illinois. Since 2020, 33 Illinois counties have passed advisory referenda to leave the state. 7 of those votes occurred in most recent general election. As he clicked through a series of slides, Baldwin said Illinois residents like Indiana's lower taxes, balanced budget, great road funding system, job opportunities, and political representation. Many residents feel Chicago's policies do not align with their values, he added. The Indiana General Assembly prides itself on being a body that serves its constituents. Indiana stands to gain, according to Baldwin. He listed increased tax revenue, strengthened sports culture, political alignment, and reduced Chicago influence. Democrats who later voted no were skeptical. Senator Lakeisha Jackson, Democrat from Indianapolis, cited an analyst from prominent conservative economist Michael Hicks, who directs the Center for Business and Economic research at Bell State University. He found that the secessionist counties would be equivalent by the nation's second poorest state. Adding them to Indiana would drop the state's per capita income. Baldwin said they're doing poorly in their current fiscal arrangement. One pro-secession witness said that counties are held back by Illinois regulation and tax rates, but a border shakeup is unlikely. Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker previously called Indiana's legislation a stunt that is not going to happen. We'll see, I guess, huh? Okay, we'll run through the obituaries. Phyllis A. Gernand, 90, of Danville, Illinois, passed away at 10:05 p.m. on April 5th at Hawthorne Inn in Danville, Illinois. A celebration of life will be held at 10 a.m. on Friday, April 11th at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Pastor Kent Tibben will officiate. Burial will be in Mann's Chapel Cemetery. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Thursday, April 10th at the funeral home. Memorials may be made in Phyllis's memory to Trinity Lutheran Church in Danville. And Jack Baird, 90, of Indianola, passed away on Thursday, April 3rd, at home with his family by his side. A celebration of life for Jack will be held at 12 p.m. on Wednesday, April 9th, at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center at Houghton Leisure Chapel at 200 East West Street in Georgetown, Illinois. Steve Cordy will officiate. Burial will follow at Woodlawn Cemetery in Indianola. Visitation from 10 to 12 on Wednesday at the funeral home. In lieu of flowers, donations can be made in Jack's name to East Park Church of Christ, 1224 East Voorhees Street, Danville, Illinois, 61873. Okay, next story is titled Hands Off. Local protesters join national movement to demand protections for vets, federal workers, and more. And this is written by Kegla White again. Despite rainy and cold conditions, more than 50 protesters lined up outside the gates of the VA on Ileana campus on Main Street in Danville Saturday as part of the Rational Hands Off movement, joining 1,200 other such rallies across 50 states, according to the Associated Press. We are coming together to celebrate the service and sacrifices of our veterans, affirm and commitment to supporting the VA and its workers, and stand firm in defending the democratic ideals that make our country strong, local rally organizer Deanne Ryan said. According to Ryan, the goals of the local rally, which was sponsored by Citizens in Support of Veterans and Invisibles Vermilion County, were to show support for local veterans, support VA employees, and protect and preserve our democratic values, ensuring that our veterans continue to receive the respect, care, and recognition they deserve. I want us to focus on something positive, so support for the veterans, fellow organizer Scott Deffenbaugh said. Several veterans participated in the protest, including P.J. Bourne, who said she was there representing veterans who couldn't make it to the protest. Value our lives, value what we did in serving our country. The privileges we earned are being taken away from us and are in somewhat of a demise, and that should not be, Bourne said. That's not what we fought. That's not why we fought. We fought for democracy. It's a sad situation that we have to come back and fight again, Bourne said, adding that she has concerns about rights being taken away from veterans, including the right to work from home. Some protesters were there in support of family and friends who are veterans, including Kathy Hokes. I'm an old white lady, so things are pretty good, but I'm here with my brother, Hokes said, gesturing to the man standing next to her. My brother and his son both fought for the country, and I can do this little bit on my own to do the same in a small way. Hokes expressed concerns over how the current administration, she said, isn't affording veterans the respect they deserve. They're not losers or suckers. They're heroes to me, she said, reading her sign, which was a reference to results Trump was accused of leveling at soldiers who died in war in September of 2020, saying he didn't want to travel by car to a cemetery in Paris, France, to visit graves of American soldiers because it was filled with losers, a statement he claims he never made. David Techtel, another protester, spoke about concerns he has about the sustainability of services many local veterans depend on, that they can't keep up the quality of service when they get rid of so many workers, he said, referencing a nationwide cut in federal workers due to directives from Trump advisor Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. Although the VA Ileana has not provided official local numbers, the Trump administration announced plans in early March to fire around 80,000 VA workers, including one local former VA Ileana employee who shared her story of being fired without notice. Aside from protesting issues facing veterans and VA campuses across the country, the National Rally Initiative also aimed to protest wealth hoarding by the billionaire class, as well as the Trump administration's recent moves to fire thousands of federal workers, close dozens of Social Security offices, deport legal immigrants, cut back on funding for state health programs, and removing protections previously offered to transgender Americans. There's no way to put a positive sign on what Trump has done, said Techtel, in reference to recent tariffs President Donald Trump imposed on a long list of countries, among them longtime trade partners. He's alienated all of our allies to where they cannot trust us anymore. Jermaine Light, a local activist and chair for the Vermillion County Democratic Party, also participated in the rally. We're defending our democracy. We're defending our U.S. Constitution. We're showing respect for the veterans who have not been respected enough by our present local federal administration. It's just the tip of the iceberg, Light said. We don't want a king. We don't want a director. And this country is headed for a fascist state, if not already there, she added. Several protesters agreed with that sentiment, holding up signs that said, "No kings, protect your democracy," and "Racist, fascist Trump." We have three branches of government for a reason. We have no kings, no oligarchy, and one protester said. Some were also concerned about recent ICE arrests of legal immigrants who have expressed opposition to Israel's war on Gaza, as well as on the Maryland man who was mistakenly sent to prison in El Salvador. If people can be hauled out of the country with no due process, we could be next, Light said. More hands-off protests are planned across the country in coming weeks. To learn more, check out mobilize.us/hands-off. There's on page A3, there's a picture of Golden Name's April Star of the Month, and it says Hawthorne Inn of Danville has named William Golden III the April Star of the Month at the facility. William was chosen by the management team for the excellent job he does as part of the dietary department. He's a great cook, fills in for different shifts, is very friendly with other staff members, and helps keep the kitchen clean. Thank you, William, for always stepping up and taking such ownership on your job, a news release states. Next story is St. Joe Library plans book sale, and it's written by a staff reporter in St. Joe. The St. Joe Township swearing-in Memorial Library at 201 North 3rd Street in St. Joe will have a spring used book sale Monday, April 28th through Wednesday, May 31st. All items are for sale by donation. There will be adult fiction, nonfiction, mysteries, science fiction, fantasy, horror, romance, adventure, biographies, crafts, and cookbooks, as well as children's fiction, nonfiction, and picture books. There may also be DVDs, music, CDs, audiobooks, and large print books. The sale will run during normal library hours, Mondays from 1 to 8, Tuesdays 9 to 6, Wednesdays 1 to 6, Thursdays 9 to 6, Fridays 9 to 5, and Saturdays 9 to 1. Call to set up a time to bring in donations for the book sale. No donations will be accepted after May 12th. For more information, call 217-469-2195. Okay, we'll run through some community briefs. Vendor market set for May 3rd. It says Prell's Vendor Market is planned for Saturday, May 3rd from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. at Ellsworth. C&L Railroad Historical Society plans annual meeting. C&L Railroad Historical Society will have its annual meeting Saturday, April 12th. For the first time, this event will be open to the public and offer programs, vendors, and displays. From 10 a.m. to noon, the public can see vendors and displays and visit the museum center for a tour. From 1:45 to 2:45, David Forbes will lead a program on passenger trains on the C&L. From 3 to 4 p.m., Rick Schroeder will present the Oaklawn Shops, and from 4 to 5 p.m., will be a question and answer time. The event will take place at Vermilion County Museum at 116 North Gilbert Street. And Westfield Library plans spring fun. U of I Extension's meal planning, grocery shopping, and goal setting program will take place April 28th at 11:30 a.m. at the Westfield Public Library Instruction ideas and fun are expected at this free program. Those attending will make stir fry while learning about healthy cooking. Call 217-267-3170 to reserve your spot before April 22nd. The event is free and will feature more than 130 vendors, face painting, and much, much more. Go through the lottery numbers for yesterday. In Illinois, it says on Monday, Illinois pick 3 is midday is 745, pick 4 midday is 1942, lucky day is 6, 7, 12, 25, and 32, and the lotto jackpot is $5.6 million. And Indiana lottery on Monday is daily 3, midday is 826, daily 4, midday is 5147, lotto jackpot's $1.6 million, Powerball jackpot is $54 million, and Mega Million jackpot is $54 million. Wouldn't that be nice to have all that money? So I guess it's a slow news day here today. So I guess that'll be it for today. Thursday, April 10th, 2025. Supposed to be in the 60s today. A little bit of rain later, though, they talk about. So I'm not real excited about that, but I guess we need it. I don't know about you, but I'm just getting tired of all this cold weather. Ready for spring to spring and show us some nice warm weather. It's supposed to be in the 70s maybe next week. So hopefully we'll get a little bit more. Hopefully no more snow. I know I'm tired of snow. I don't know about you, but I hope you all have a great weekend and a good week, and hopefully I'll see you again next week. Take care. Bye.